Hello, welcome to Believer's Toolbox. I'm Innocent Times, and on this podcast, you learn the simple tools to living out your Christian faith, the tools you need to get your victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe that the Word of God can be used as a tool, you know, just the way you use a screwdriver, just the way you use a hammer, different tools. I believe you can use God's Word as a tool to be effective in life and walk in victory. Most especially, as a young believer, it's so important that you know how to use God's Word. It's not just a religion to you. It's not just scriptures to you. But you live it out. You live it out. You live out your healing. You live out your victory. You live out your soundness of mind. You live out whatever the Word of God says you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Last week, we started a series called The ABCs of Redemption. The ABCs of Redemption. And you know, why did I start this series? I know that as a new believer, as someone new to the Christian faith, some questions will always pop up because I had those questions. Friends asked me those questions. Things like, you say you're now a Christian. I also am spiritual. Your friend might say, I also am a spiritual person. I do not identify with any religion, but I'm spiritual. Or I'm a spiritual person. I identify with all religions. And you could be, you know, thrown off balance as a young believer when you don't understand really what salvation is, or just have some basic understanding of what redemption is. Or your friends might ask you questions like, why did you choose Christianity amongst other religion? What makes you different? Or who needs a savior anyway? You know, will a God, will a loving God send people to hell? Things like that will always come up. Or does hell exist? You know, or is it just preachers trying to scare us and stop us from having fun? These are questions new believers face, especially from their community, from their friends, from their family members. And in this series, I try to help you understand the simple basics of your Christian faith. My goal is not just for you to understand it. My goal is that you should be able to explain it, to tell your friends, teach your friends in very simple terms. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe this is going to bless you. Let's share a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your precious, holy, written word. Thank you because you made all things beautiful in your own time. Lord, as people hear the word, I ask that you bless them with understanding. You bless them with insight. You bless them with revelation knowledge. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. We have a key text, like you know, when we do series. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. Another key scripture we are taking for this series is Romans chapter 3, verse 23 to 25. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." Verse 25, "God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the saints committed beforehand unpunished." Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just break down this simple scripture. You know, verse 23 of Romans 3 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every human, for you to understand salvation or redemption or what Christ came to do for us on the cross, the first thing you need to understand that everyone sinned. Everyone born in this world is a sinner. Praise God. Before they met Christ, before they had an encounter with Jesus, before they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, everyone born in this world is doomed, is a sinner, and has fallen short of God's standard, has fallen short of God's glory. You know, the last episode, we looked at Adam and what Adam had done, how Adam fell, how Adam and his wife Eve obeyed the serpent, obeyed Satan, and disobeyed God, and they lost their glory. They lost eternal life. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No person born in this world can escape the scripture except through Christ. No one. It's impossible. It doesn't matter how you think you are living right. You can't escape this. Verse 24 says, and all are justified freely. So it didn't end there of falling short of the glory of God. Now it says, all are justified freely by his grace. So there is an option. There is a provision for justification. There is a provision for salvation. Yes, everyone has sinned, or everyone is born with the sin nature. There is a provision for justification. It says, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So the justification came by redemption, not by your works. Oh, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. So redemption came by Christ Jesus. Redemption is only in Christ Jesus. It is a redemption because you were born in a Christian home. Redemption because you've lived right all your life. Redemption because you've done nothing wrong. He says, no, the redemption came by Christ Jesus. This is why we preach. You know, you can be morally good and still go to hell. You can be a morally good person, give to charity, love the poor, help the sick, be someone nice in government, and still go to hell. Not because that was God's plan, but because you did not receive the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. 25 says, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. So you see, a sacrifice was done through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Oh, glory to God. To be received by faith. Redemption, salvation is received by faith. You've got to receive it by faith. You've got to receive it by faith. What Christ did for us on the cross has to be received by faith. You can't work for it. You see, they're very, very, very interesting words here. Justification, grace, redemption, sacrifice, received by faith. All this points to one thing, that the gift of God of salvation is free in Christ Jesus. That you don't have to do anything on your own. You don't have to pay the price for sin anymore. It is now free. All you've got to do is receive it. All you've got to do is receive what Christ has done for you. You know, I used to see some inscriptions say only fools go to hell. And it sounds very harsh, but the truth, because what the fool did was just not to receive Jesus. A free package. Nothing. All you had to do was to receive Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's important to understand this. But today I want us to narrow down into, we started the last episode talking about Adam. He fell. And you need to understand his redemption, because you need to understand what happened to man. What changed in man after he disobeyed God? We're going to continue from last week. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, The heart is deceitful and above all things. The heart is deceitfully above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9, in the NIV. I like the Amplified Version, classic. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and is exceedingly perverse and corrupt, severely morally sick. Who can know it, perceive, understand, be acquitted with his own heart and mind? When man fell, when man disobeyed God in the garden, this happened to man. Man became perverse. His heart became corrupt, severely and morally sick. Mortally sick. He became mortally sick, meaning he was going to die. Man was not designed to die. Man was designed to live forever. So death came as a result of man's fall. His heart became corrupt, severely and wicked, deceitful. Man was not born to be. See, when you see the violence in the world, you see the wickedness in the world, that was not God's intention. It wasn't God's intention at all. You know, people say things like, oh, if God exists, why is there wickedness in the world? The wickedness in the world was not caused by God. The wickedness in the world was caused by the heart of the man, the heart of men that became corrupt after the fall. The wickedness you see in the world is caused by the wickedness in the heart of man, in the heart of men after Adam fell. Praise God. It wasn't God that created the wickedness in the world. No, it's man. So you see, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If a man's heart is deceitful, wicked, he's going to bring out wickedness. He's going to bring out wickedness. This is what has happened to man. Man that was, don't forget, man was created initially in the image and in the likeness of God. The Bible says God is love. So man was created in love and with love, and he had love on the inside. So what happened to man? Something changed in man when he received the counsel of Satan and disobeyed God. That was when he fell from the glory. Don't forget our key text. He fell short from that glory. That was when everything changed for man. It got so bad, you know. How can something so good suddenly become so bad? The state of the man's heart. The state of the man's heart had become deceitful and wicked. Let's read something that happened. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 says, Adam, I'm reading from verse 1. Adam made love to his wife. I'm reading the NIV version. It says, and Adam made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain walked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborns of the flock. The Lord looked at the favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Just a brief story. Adam gave birth to two sons, Abel and Cain. And both of them wanted to bring offerings to the Lord. Abel brought his best. He brought an offering. And Cain brought something that was not so good. And the Lord received Abel's offering. And Cain was upset. Do you know, this happens to us. People just get jealous of somebody else's success or whatever somebody else is doing. The Bible says that the Lord spoke to Cain and said, look, Cain, if you do what is right, you'll be accepted. If you don't, sin is at your door. It desires to have you. It desires to have you. It desires to consume you, but you must rule over it. Don't allow jealousy or wickedness creep in your heart. Don't get envious of somebody else to the point you want to bring down the person. That is sin at work. That is sin at ruling over you. He says, you must rule over it. If you don't rule over sin, sin is going to rule over you. Verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. For what reason? Was it Abel that didn't receive your offering? Oh my goodness. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Look at what jealousy has done to Cain. Where did this jealousy come from? The heart of man is desperately wicked. Verse 10. Then the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse, driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you walk the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a reckless wanderer on the earth. You will be a reckless wanderer on the earth. You need to understand that sin is a destroyer. All forms of sin will eventually destroy you. Anger, jealousy, malice, whatever it is, harming somebody else will eventually destroy you as a person. The Bible says that the Lord warned him, sin was crouching at your door. If you don't rule over it, it's going to rule over you. But the truth is this, the heart of man had changed. Man had become a slave of sin. Man had become a slave of Satan. He was no more in control. Satan was now in charge of the human spirit. The spirit of man had become dead to God and righteousness. So he eventually had to yield to that sin. And that's what happens to everyone that's not in Christ Jesus. Everyone that is not a child of God. Sin is ruling over you. Oh, you might say, I am doing right today. But someday, that same demonic spirit will move you to do something terrible. You know, sometimes you wonder. You hear stories of someone had lived a very good life, had great education, wonderful family, and one day they found out the person did something criminal. The person went to the store and shot people, and they began to wonder what happened to the person. The truth is this, it doesn't matter how good you think you are, if you are not in Christ Jesus, sin is ruling over you. Satan is ruling over you, and one day he's going to overpower your will and he's going to push you to do something wrong. Hallelujah. This was what, after the fall, man became a beast. Praise God. Let's look at another story. Genesis chapter 6 from verse 1 to 13. It's about Noah and the flood and the ark. Let's read from verse 1. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them that they chose. You need to see what I'm saying here. It says the sons of God, meaning angels, saw that humans were beautiful, ladies were beautiful, angels that God created saw that women were beautiful and they married any of them that they chose. Angels having sexual intercourse with man. That was not God's initial design. Don't forget, how did God tell man to procreate? Adam and Eve. Not through angels or demons and man. Verse 3. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. This is how man's lifespan was dropped. Verse 4. Then Nephilim were on the earth. So the children that were given birth to by the reason of the relationship between the demons and the female gender at that time produced Nephilims. These were giants. The Bible says Nephilims were on the earth in those days. Also, afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of, you know, renown. If you read stories about, you know, Greek mythology and things like that, you'd have heard stories about, I don't want to mention some names, but you've heard of some of those stories that these guys were like God. Some were even worshipped. They had the strength, the size of giants. They had the power of gods. They conquered kingdoms. A lot of them were as a result of the procreation between demons and women. Verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth. Imagine humans that God said was created in his image, was fearfully and wonderfully made, was created to dominate the earth, that the Lord blessed, the Bible says, and that the Bible says that God called them wicked. And the very inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. I'll read it again. Then the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth. And every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Then the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But the Lord found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord got so angry that he said, look, I'm going to wipe out the whole human race. He says, in the heart of man is only evil. It's only evil. Sin, I'm trying to show you that sin began to rule. Sin began to dominate. Men began to do horrible and terrible things, unimaginable things on the earth. But this was not God's original design. Verse 11 says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. Verse 12, and God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. My God, all the people, this is just Genesis chapter 6. From Genesis chapter 2, 1 and 2, that God created the earth and man was blessed. By Genesis chapter 6, the Lord was so angry that he wanted to destroy the earth again. Praise God. Let's read another story. Genesis 18, verse 20. To 22. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. Then the men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Let's read the Message translation. It says, God continued, the cries of the victims in Sodom and Gomorrah are deafening. The sins of those cities is immense. I'm going out to see for myself if what they are doing is as bad as it sounds. Then I will know. So sin had progressed from just Adam and Eve to their son Cain, to now cities, to Noah, and even after the flood, Noah, sin continued. Sin, the Lord wiped out the whole human race and saved only Noah. But sin continued. By the time we got to 18 again, we are hearing of cities that were sin dominated. All kinds of sin. Praise God. Sin began to rule. And sin is still ruling in the lives of people that have not received Jesus. That's what I want to get across to you today. In the lives of people that haven't received Jesus yet. Praise God. And you might say, oh, it's just some other people were different. Let me show you Israel, God's chosen people. 2 Kings chapter 17, from 13 to 17. It says, then the Lord warned Israel and Judah, though all through all these prophets and seers, turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I command your ancestors to obey and that I deliver to you through my servants, the prophets. But they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their ancestors who did not trust in the Lord their God. Verse 15. They rejected his decrees and the covenants he had made with his ancestors and the statutes he had warned them to keep. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them to not do so. Verse 16. They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and made for themselves two idols, cast in shape of calves and Asherah poles. They bowed down to all the Asherah hosts and they worshiped Baal. Verse 17. They sacrificed their sons. This is Israel, God's chosen nation. They sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire. They practiced divination and sought omens and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. So no nation is exempted from sin. No nation. What I want to show, I showed you individuals, I showed you nations. No nation is exempted. Sin is in charge. The only escape from the domain of sin is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The only escape that we've got, that you and I have, is through receiving the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let me conclude with this. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. I'm reading the NIV version. It says, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. I want us to reason together. It's not high time you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you want to make that decision right now, pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross. And today, I receive him into my heart. I make that proclamation with my mouth that he's my Lord and Savior. And I receive his sacrifice for me on the cross. Today, I'm born again. You are my Lord and my Savior. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you've made this prayer, I want you to contact me and I'll reach out to you and help you grow spiritually. God bless you, and I'll see you on the next podcast of the Believer's Toolbox. Amen.